Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
So I have the distinct honor and privilege to introduce to you some special guests who are with us today. If you've been a part of our church family for the last several years, you've heard us talk about our desire to be a resource church, and you've heard us talk about something that we call our FRPs. That's our friendships and our relationships and our partnerships, as we're always asking the question, how can we partner and network with others to see God do stuff all over the place? And Chad and Jillian have become new friendship relationship partner FRPs in our church family. Chad and Jillian are church planters, and they are planting a church in Longmont, Colorado. Go ahead and give them a shout out for that. And we are connecting in relationship and partnership really over this weekend. They're going to be spending time with our church council directly after service in our council meeting. And since they were coming to hang out with us, I asked Chad if he would speak, if he would share this morning, continuing us in our This Is How We Grow series. He's going to be talking about community and the importance of that in the life of the believer. It's a great message, and I want to encourage you to be ready for that. But before I have them share with us, we are going to share ourselves with them, and we're going to pray for them, for what God is doing in them, and we're going to knit our hearts to what he's doing in Longmont. So if you would extend your hand out. Lord, we come before you, and we just say yes. We say yes to this. Lord, we say yes to more churches. We say yes to more people coming to Jesus. Lord, we say yes to more healing and wholeness because of the salvation that Jesus provides. And we say yes, Lord, to this adventure. Lord, as Chad and Jillian have sold everything and moved to a new place to say yes to the adventure that you would have for them, Lord, we would knit our hearts to this, and we would come alongside. And we would say, God, knit us together. Loop us arm in arm. Lord, we pray for provision. Lord, we pray for favor. We pray that you would make straight their path and make straight their steps. Lord, that there would be a sense of the leading of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you have already gone before them and begun to work in the hearts of those who need to hear of the hope and the message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as they would move forward and as we would come alongside them, Lord, that this would be the beginning of a move of God. Lord, that there would be a new and distinct expression of your kingdom in Longmont, Lord, that there would be a place for the lost to be found, Lord, that there would be a place for the broken to be made whole, Lord, that there would be a place for those to find hope and to be launched in the fullness of the plans and the purposes that you would have for their life. And Lord, give us a growing, adventurous, divine imagination for what it looks like to be a part of the things of your kingdom. And Lord, stir each one of us towards action, just in our own places of, Lord, our own places of influence and our own places of community. Lord, that we would be a part of what you are doing in and around us. In Jesus' name, bless them. Amen. Amen. With that, Pastor Chad is going to lead us forward this morning.
Thank you so much. Get my notes here. Don't worry, I have notes. I'm not just going to be going crazy from nothing here. I'll go crazy from something. So, first off, thank you for hosting us. Thank you for partnering with us. And thank you for being a part of a community that wants to see the gospel reach people who have never heard the gospel. It's crazy to me that in America, it's becoming a missions field. Like, other countries are starting to send missionaries to America. And it just blows my mind because our dollar still says, "In God we trust." But our actions don't necessarily all the time. And that's what we're here for. People might not read the Bible, but they'll read the gospel through you. And that's where it starts. And so I wanted to talk today about the concept of craft community. Because I feel like our society has also lost the value of craftsmanship. Having something crafted, handmade, something artisan. And so I wanted to talk today about how our community and how our relationships and our friendships and our partnerships can have a personal touch and can have extreme value when they're handcrafted. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about I'm going to try to build some relational equity with you, because I believe that you don't care how much I know until you know how much I care. And so I want to show you that I really care about community, because there's nothing in me more besides the Holy Spirit that wants to see people understand how much Jesus loves them and how much they are not just saved from their sin, but they're actually released into their purpose. I believe that you are all made on purpose and for purpose and with purpose. And that purpose is to help people find Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is community and how we can do that. And I want to let you know that you and I, whether you knew it or not, have some really deep roots together. I got roots dating back to 1981 here at Sterling Foursquare. My mom was a part of a singing group for Life Pacific College, Life Bible College, and she stayed one night here in Sterling and sang. So we're old friends. I mean, we got history. We hang out on weekends. Like, we got history together. And that was also the trip that my mom met my dad in Grand Junction. And so I'm just saying, I might be from California and only in Colorado for 4 months, but I just got home. Right? So that's what community, that's what a gospel mindset and a missional mindset can do. Is, yeah, it's funny that my mom stayed one night in here and I'm calling us old friends, but the reality is I'm back here in Sterling years later on the same mission. We're in community together. We're growing closer to Jesus together. So I was a barista for 6 years, and I wasn't like, if you work at Starbucks, I'm sorry, I'm not hating on you, I'm just saying it is what it is. Y'all don't make craft coffee anymore. You make coffee, but it's not crafted. It's not handmade. It's automated. Just like a lot of stuff in our society is that we're trying to automate things to make it more convenient and more comfortable, easier, quicker. When I was a barista, we actually had to make the coffee. We had to hand tamp the espresso. We had to steam the milk. We got to pour and make designs and art. And I was a competitive barista. And I know you don't know me yet, but I'm a very competitive person. If there's something to win, I'm going to do my best to win it. And when I was competing as a barista, there was so much that went in and so much intentionality and so much fine detail. And it's just coffee. You're like, it's just coffee, dude. I'm like, no, it's not. It is so much more than just coffee. It's like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, coffee. I mean, it is. It's up there, in my opinion, at least. Like, Bible and coffee is like my start of the day. And so I really believe that there's something so valuable and something so meaningful in what's crafted with care and what's made with purpose. And if you've ever built something by yourself, you understand that it's so much more heart, like it means so much more to you. When my wife and I got married, we were renovating this condo that we put all of our money into. We had no money to do anything, especially she's got this kind of like taste, and I had this kind of budget and experience and knowledge and all that kind of stuff. So I was doing my best. She still loves me. And so she wanted this farmhouse table. And I was like, that table's like over $1,000. I can't afford that. And so I went to Home Depot where it's like $100 in pieces. And so I did my best to build my wife this table, and I loved it. She tolerated it. I loved it. Every time someone came over to her house, I was like, look at this table. It is so cool. I built that table. I ended up using just a jigsaw to redo our entire flooring. I didn't have a chop saw. I didn't have a miter saw. I had the one tool. That's all I had. Sometimes to make something, you just need to do it. And sometimes to do it well, you need the right tools. I didn't have the right tools, but I had the right intention. So today we're going to look at how do we craft our community? How do we make our community for us with value? And then what tools do we need to do that well? Because our problem today, and this is a broad stroke, but our problem today is that we have a lot of counterfeit community. I call it IKEA community. It's just mass produced. It doesn't take much work. Anyone can really put it together. You got a bunch of pieces left over. It doesn't matter. It doesn't cost much. And if you get rid of it, like we were on our on the move out here a couple months ago, we had this IKEA dresser, and it went like kaboom in the moving truck. And I was like, oh well. It was like it didn't bother me. One, it couldn't withstand anything. It broke very easily, and when it was just disposable. And I don't believe that a crafted community of people on mission for Jesus is disposable. And I don't believe it has no value, and I believe it can withstand the bumps of the road. Because when you start to look at humans in sociology, we are wired for community. We find community everywhere. Even those who don't want to be in community are in a community of people who don't want to be a part of community. There's other people who don't want to be there. And so we are going to find community. Gangs are prevalent and very welcoming and add in their numbers in a community. Now, that community might not be targeted on the right path, making good choices, but let me tell you, it's a sad truth that sometimes, not this place, not us, not our place, but sometimes a gang is more welcoming than a community of believers. Why do you think young people go to join a gang instead of a church? They feel welcomed. They feel belonged. They feel like they have purpose. Why can't the church have that? Why, we should be like, y'all should be booing me at this point. But sadly, we've kind of lost the community of our community. Because not everything that grows is healthy. Sometimes we look, I'm going to speak for pastors, we look at the growth that we have and go, we must be following the mission well. Really? Because cults grow. And they're not following the mission well. Mold grows, and it's not good. When I was renovating that condo, I found black mold, and it grew. And it was not good. So just because it's growing doesn't mean it's good. Can we grow a healthy community that's thriving? We're going to look at Galatians 5:19. We're going to look at the vegetables of the flesh and then the fruits of the spirit. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me be clear here. That's not saying that you won't go to heaven, that you can't be saved if you have that in your past or your present. That's not what was being said here at all. You won't experience heaven on earth if that's the choices you're making. That's what's being said. You can still be saved and go to heaven, but we're here on earth right now. Let's bring heaven down. So what does heaven on earth look like? What does a community focused on Jesus, moving on mission, look like? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. That's what we should be aspiring to be. I truly believe that people would not be able to resist a community gathering with those values. They might not know we have those values yet, but they will find out if we're living correctly, if we're living out. And these are spiritual formations that craft our lives. Let's not let life happen accidentally, but let's be on purpose with our intentions and our actions. Because Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble." I got to tell you, I was in the principal's office a lot in high school. And it was never for hanging out with the smart kids. It was always for ditching class with the knuckleheads. If you walk with the wise, you're gonna get more wise. Yeah, I need to walk with the wise more. But if you walk with the fools, you're gonna get into trouble. It's gonna hurt you. It's gonna cost you. And this isn't just a message for the adolescent, though, the coming of age time. I really believe we're all just middle schoolers that kind of learned how to hide it. We don't really grow up. Well, maybe I'm just talking to myself. I didn't really grow up. I just got good at hiding the fact that I'm immature. But if you want to stay out of trouble, you gotta get around people that are going the direction you want to go. In the book of Acts, right after the Holy Spirit came down and the church started, right at that epicenter moment, in Acts 2:42 it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and then the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Those are four very attainable, very doable things for us to model our community and our lives after the birth of the church. Devoted is a key word here, because the way our society kind of looks at the word devoted is the way we look at following. It's just a tap of a button on a social media app, and now I'm a follower of you. Or the way we allow ourselves to be discipled through the television, whether it's CNN or Fox News or whatever you want to look at, whatever you want to watch, whatever ideology you want to take in, you're actually devoting yourself to that. And the word devoted is a lot deeper than we like to think about it. Because in the Greek, the word devoted is to attend constantly. What is something that you find yourself constantly going to, constantly engaging in? Is it escapism through social media? Is it the local watering hole? Is it someone or something else that you should stay away from? What are you constantly attending? Because I believe that you will be shaped by your environment, and you will start to model what you take in. So are you consistently attending prayer with God, a fellowship of believers that are encouraging you, that are teaching you how to walk wisely? Are you sharing meals with people? A lot can happen over a meal. One thing I love about food, which I love food. I'm drifting for a minute. I'm hungry. But now, one thing I love about food is that it's a great equalizer. No matter how much money, status, person, no matter who and how you are, you need to eat. And you can share a meal with someone. I had a great friend. He was homeless, and we became friends, and he was amazing. And I used to buy him pizza. We used to sit there and eat pizza together. And he became a good friend of mine. And he actually called me his best friend. Steve was so good. Jack Stevens was so cool. And what was really humbling, and where I get this power of sharing a meal together, is that this homeless man who became my friend said, "I'm going to buy you dinner tonight." And I was like, "No, you're Jack, stop. Get out of here." He's like, "No, we're friends. That's how this works." And so I had to humble myself and allow him to spend the little money that he had on a slice of pizza for me. But that moment and that conversation, that shared meal, was so special, because I knew the value that he had placed on me as a friend based on what he didn't have. And so we can pause our lives to share a meal with someone. Invite them into your home. It's vulnerable, but it's important to community. In California, where I come from, we have redwood trees. And I lived in the redwood area. They're like 300 feet tall, and they're like 20 feet round. They're gigantic. They're like the Rocky Mountain of trees. They're huge. But what's crazy about redwood trees is that their root system doesn't actually go that deep. It sprawls and it intertwines with the other trees in the grove. The other redwood trees that are there, the other mountainous trees are structured and they go under the soil and they interlink with each other to hold each other up, to support one another. That's what a healthy community looks like, is that we're coming alongside and we're interweaving and embracing our lives together so that we can support one another. And our big idea here is that crafted community is three things. The first one is it's individual. It's individual. It's personal ownership. It's up to you. Now that's both intimidating and liberating. It's intimidating in the fact that if you don't like your life, look around. You're the one in charge of it. But it's also freeing that if you don't like your life, look around. You're the one in charge of it. You get to craft your community. Someone in here, if you need to hear that you don't have to answer that phone call because it's not healthy for you to listen to it, don't pick up the phone. They're not your responsibility. You get to craft your community. You get to say yes and you get to say no. Say yes to the things of God. Say no to the things of this world. It takes prayer. It takes scripture. It takes worship, which is serving, not just the music aspect, but serving one another. Bringing God honor and glory through your actions. That's worship. It takes giving. Giving your time, giving your talents, giving your treasures. Community needs your gift. It takes Sabbath. It takes being willing to receive as well. I know sometimes we get involved in community and some of us are just givers and we just want to give our time and we want to do this and we want to do that, we want to do this and we want to say yes, 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 and then we burn ourselves out. And then we blame the church. Well, you didn't Sabbath. You didn't take a moment to trust God with everything. Because if this church was up to Ben, he's awesome, don't get me wrong, but it's not going to go as far as it can if it's up to God. And then the second point is that it's interconnected. There's relational investment. You need to invest in your relationships. Just as I said, maybe you need to hear that you have permission to not pick up the phone. I'm going to tell you right now, there's someone that you need to pick up the phone and call. There's someone you need to text. There's a relationship that needs your value. Do to others as you would have them do to you. One of the things I love is getting a phone call from a friend, getting a text message that they're thinking, praying, this, that, or even they just like send me a goofy meme. It makes me feel like someone cares, like someone likes me, like someone wants me around, because I came across their mind and they did something of effort. You could give that gift to someone else. And my grandma used to always say, it costs nothing to be clean and kind. So no matter what you have, you can be kind. Say something encouraging to someone. If they come across your mind, just say, hey man, thinking about you. Love you. Hope you're doing well. It could change their day. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We should be people known of love. That should be one of the markings of our community if we're centered on Jesus, that we will be known as people of his love. And we need to communicate that. A lot of times we communicate without words, and that's pretty loud. What if we could preach the gospel with our actions? What if we could show people how much value they have in Christ by how we value them? What if we could be honest? Have you ever been a part of a group of friends where you could actually be honest? You didn't have to wonder what you could say or couldn't say or do this. You could kind of take your guard down and they loved you no matter what. Even if you said something that maybe didn't make sense, maybe wasn't true, maybe wasn't right, but you were honest with how you feel? Or have you ever had that friend where they offend you and they hurt you and you went and talked to them and you were honest with what they said hurt you and they were apologetic? And how a breath of fresh air that is when you are in a healthy community, that you can be honest with, hey, that hurt me. You saying that bothered me. And they go, I had no idea. Please forgive me. And then that leads us to another point of our community. It's got to be a forgiving community. If we model the way of Jesus, we have to be forgiving. Because last I checked, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. So we've all been forgiven. So we should go and do likewise. And then it needs to be intentional. There needs to be an observational awareness in our community. Because it's going to happen, whether you see it coming or not. A community is going to form. And I hope you are a part of the community you want to be. So that's our first one, is we should look around. That's both a metaphorical look around, like, and a physical look around. I get so, like, I'm only 36, so I get it. This is my people, and I'm talking to my people, but we're walking around like this. Just staring at community, or synthetic community, IKEA community, counterfeit community. We're just looking at it and swiping and scrolling. We don't take the minute to look up and see someone eye to eye and see the value and the care and the craft that is the work of God. The masterpiece. The mountains are amazing, but God calls you his masterpiece. You're more beautiful than the Rocky Mountains, than the redwood trees, than the ocean, than a narwhal. Narwhals are awesome. It's the unicorn of the sea. You're more majestic. Then we need to listen. There's something so comforting in knowing that someone heard you. To be heard and to be listened to. We got two ears and one mouth. I'm not good at math, but it's pointing in one direction. Listen more. Speak less. Which is ironic coming from a guy who's speaking for 30 minutes. But look at you guys listening. Good for you. We gotta be learning. We gotta be learning. Once you stop learning, you stop growing. And we're in this to grow as a community. We're in this to grow as followers of Jesus. And we're in this to grow as a kingdom of heaven. Don't stop learning. Don't stop loving. I put it in there twice because it's that important. That important. Some of the most impactful moments are from people in my life who loved me when I was at my worst. I'm going to get a little open with you guys for a second. I was a pastor's kid. I am still a pastor's kid. I'm just a pastor's grown kid-ish. But I had some rebellious years, and my parents had this rule. If you're living in our house, you're going to church on Sunday. No matter your age, no matter nothing. And in high school, I got into partying and some other stuff. And there was this moment, there was a Sunday morning that I had stayed out all Saturday night. I had not quite sobered up yet. And I come stumbling into church. And I mean that literally. And I had the youth pastor at the time pull me aside, get me some water, get me some gum, hang out with me, and love me when I was stumbling into church still drunk from the night before. And that moment shared with me that no matter how much I was messing up, there was people who loved God enough to love me still. And it marked me. It changed how I saw the church. Because at that moment in my life, I saw the church as just this social club. It was the love of Christ that put a seed that is now taking its full expression. You could be the loving expression of God that could change someone's life. And not just here on earth, but their eternal life. And there are gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you that are specific and impactful that no one else can do. I told you I was competitive. If there was another me, I would beat it. I would be better. Thank God there's only one. Ask my wife, thank God there's only one of me. I got enough ADD for all of us. But here are some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us and how they work in unity for community. Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. It's pretty straightforward. We use our gifts to equip other people so that we can do the mission of God. God's given you these gifts. If you can teach, teach. Some of these are churchy words like evangelist or prophet. Evangelist, someone who's an advocate, someone who's going after and sharing the good news with someone. Or a prophet, it's the mouthpiece of God, someone who hears from God and shares it with people and encourages them. An apostle, it's a motivator. It's someone who is starting things. It's a catalytic person. And then Romans 12 says it this way, verses 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it to others. Do it gladly. You're in there somewhere. I don't know you personally, but I know God, and he doesn't make mistakes. And he makes masterpieces. You have those gifts inside of you. And you add value to this community. You add value to us. We're less without you. I'm not talking about nickels and noses. I'm talking about the sum total of value in this group, in the kingdom of heaven. We need you operating in your gift that God has wired and designed you to give. And he's also designed you to receive the gifts of others. That's community. It's interconnected. So I wanted to encourage you today with these questions this week. If I could have the band come back up. Where in your spiritual, emotional, and mental life can you grow as an individual this week? Where can you take personal ownership and responsibility for the shape of your life? And there's no shame in needing help. There's no shame in needing help with your emotions or with your mental health. How can you become more interconnected with investing into healthy community this week? You, not anyone else, you can invest into this community this week. Maybe it's by texting someone an encouraging word. Maybe it's by getting into one of the serve teams here. Maybe it's by going on a missions trip. Maybe it's by giving generously. Whatever it is, God gave it to you to be shared in community. Then what's one thing God is bringing awareness to that you need to intentionally remove from your life? What's one thing that you need to remove from your life? There's something blocking you. the view of Jesus for you. And all you need to do is step to the side so you can see him clearly. And what's something that you need to add to your life? Is it reading the verse of the day on the YouVersion Bible app? Is it sitting in 5 minutes of prayerful response to what God is doing? What's something you need to add to your life to keep growing with Jesus? If you'd bow your heads. Lord, thank you so much for the gifts that you have given each individual here. Lord, that you have designed and you have crafted each person with a purpose, with a gift. Lord, I pray that we would steward those gifts well, that we would take ownership of our actions, that we would connect with people and link arm in arm, and we would be intentional to use the gifts you've given us, intentional to add value, intentional to welcome others in, intentional to forgive, and intentional to repent. Lord, and I want to give a moment right now that if there's anyone in this room or online who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to extend that invitation to join the community of believers. I call it the ABCs. A, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. I've sinned. I've messed up. I can't save myself. It's beyond me. And then B, you believe that that Savior is Jesus Christ. Lord, you died on the cross for me. I believe that you are the Son of God who came down to save me from my sin. And then C, I commit my life to follow you. I commit my life to community. I hand it over to you, Jesus. And I invite your Holy Spirit into my life to bring out the handcrafted value that you began in me a long time ago and that you will carry to completion. If that's you and you want to make that commitment, I would just look up, raise your hand so I can celebrate with you. Because that's what the Bible says, that heaven celebrates when people turn to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Jesus, thank you. Yes, yes. Lord, these people who have put their life in your hands, Lord, I pray that you would just embrace them right now. That you would show them what true community looks like, not counterfeit community. And you would highlight the craftsmanship of your hands in their hearts and their lives and their heads. That you would display your glory through them. In your name we pray as a community of believers on mission with purpose and for purpose, Lord. Amen.